Please lower your head and watch your step while boarding.
Welcome to the Attractions Podcast. You are all clear for dispatch. Have fun.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 109 of the Attractions Podcast, sponsored by Destinations with Character Travel. I'm Brittany.
And I'm Seth.
And we're here to talk to you about the latest and greatest in theme park news and more, as well as what's going on in our own lives. And Seth, I know before the official start of the show, we were talking about Muppet's Haunted Mansion a lot. But
yes.
What else have you done this week?
other than watch, what else do you need from your week other than watching Muppet's Haunted Mansion? I actually, I got to go on a cruise this week. I was hosted by MSC on the Divina, which is a ship that recently started traveling out of Port Canaveral. I'm going to be writing a little bit more about it hopefully soon, but you can check out my social media thread. I had a really great week, and if you are probably not the best ship for families with young children, but if you are a mature adult, you like good food, especially Italian food, they've got some really great rates right now, so I'd go ahead and check them out. And how was your week?
My week was good, just prepping for my travels starting next week. I finished Squid Game on Netflix, which...
Okay, so as I was away, I keep, you know, hearing things. I keep seeing stuff in my social media feed. I remember Squid Game when it was called Battle Royale about 20 years ago. But I guess everything that is old is new again. So I think I'm going to have to check this one out because everyone is talking about it.
This one, I've never seen Battle Royale, but I have seen The Hunger Games, which is basically Battle Royale.
The Americanized version, sure.
But this one is Korean, and it's more about kind of the rich pitting the poor against each other to try to win money. And it's like a commentary on the working class versus.
That sounds like pure science fiction. Nothing like that could ever happen in the real world.
But it was really great. The cinematography was just incredible. And the entire production design was very, I don't know, stylized. It was so cool.
Yeah.
I had to stop at episode 6, there are 9 episodes, and like take a day off.
Oh, gee.
It was really heavy.
Yeesh. I think I'm going to have to watch this one with my wife out of the house. Maybe when she's out of the state.
It's very violent. I will give you that.
Yeah.
But definitely watch it if you decide to with English subtitles and listen to the original
yes.
Korean dialogue.
I'm not a fan of dubbing.
No, the dub is bad and also apparently inaccurate. But we finished that, and other than that, just like general stuff, getting ready for the big trip and everything. Yeah.
Well, safe travels.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I'm very excited. But without any further ado, let's
do it.
First up, a new Disney mobile game is out on the App Store and Google Play that can let you build your own Disney theme park. And all you have to do is play a match 3 puzzle game to do it.
The little chat message thread that we all in Attractions have has had a lot of back and forth about this game to the point where I am not into free-to-play Match 3 Candy Crush clones, but I think I'm going to have to download this one just because I keep seeing everyone unlocking cool theme park attractions that they get as rewards for completing challenges. And I don't know, I saw someone had the Pirates League.
Yes, Quinn posted the Pirates League in it, which...
So they even dig into extinct stuff, huh?
Yeah, and I used to work at the Pirates League when I worked at Walt Disney World, so that was like kind of a soft moment for me. But I thought it was funny that they even included it at all, so I wonder what else is in there, but you get to pick your layout and everything. Characters will show up. But it is like a Candy Crush match three puzzle game.
Someone has to let me know if they find Alien Encounter in there.
Oh my god. if you download it now, you can get special 50th anniversary park editions, including a giant birthday cake to put into your Disney park, with other characters and decorations to unlock as well. It is free to download, but I'm sure that it is full of microtransactions.
Oh, so, yes. In-app purchases, beware.
Yes, buyer beware on that. But one of our staff members, Quinn, he seems to really enjoy it. So if you like those kinds of games, check it out.
I'm already addicted to a Star Wars game and a Star Trek game. If I have a Disney game, my life will just be gone.
I had Pokemon Cafe Mix. That was, but I played it on my Switch. But it's like a matching game, but you run a Pokemon Cafe, and I had to stop. So I had to stop. It was getting too much, too tempting to spend money on it. So I just, I had to quit. Those of you excited for, or even were lucky enough to book a room aboard the Galactic Star Cruiser, a new comic book miniseries is coming out next year to kind of give you the backstory you'll need for your voyage.
I'm just glad that there's going to be a little piece of the Galactic Star Cruiser that will be affordable enough that I will be able to enjoy, because I think reading these comics will probably be the closest I will come to booking a cabin. For me, the thing that jumps out right away is this cover, which portrays a Wookiee Jedi, a clothed Wookiee Jedi with a really cool lightsaber that I've never quite seen in this style before. So I'm guessing this this cover image might refer to the past era of this Star Cruiser, because we find out that this Star Cruiser has been around for about 200 years. And apparently this comic series is going to kind of take us through the whole history of the ship. So it spans from way before the prequel era all the way through the sequels.
Yeah, I think this specifically represents the High Republic era. I haven't been reading any of the High Republic things because it's all Star Wars books right now. But that's cool. I'm a little concerned that the ship is 200 years old. So does that mean the parts of it are broken or faulty? Like, are we going to see a mechanic just like whacking things with the wrench?
Well, I assume it's a ship of Theseus type thing where, you know, over the years you replace every single component. So, you know, is it really still the same ship if everything has been, you know, upgraded or traded out at some point?
That's fair.
It's a philosophical question.
It will be 5 issues. It will come out next year, and it's being written by Ethan Sachs, who, if you pay attention to Star Wars comics, he recently wrote the Star Wars Bounty Hunters run, and Will Sliney is doing the art, and he most recently did the Rise of Kylo Ren, which is a great run if you haven't read that yet.
And I guess these are going to be canon, right?
Yeah.
Everything that they publish is, so this is going to tie in completely to, you know, the movies, the books, and the theme park all rolled up in one.
They are really sticking to that timeline. This also, I'm sure it was confirmed elsewhere, but I've never seen it straight up said that Galactic Star Cruiser takes place in between episodes 8 and 9.
Yeah, all of pretty much all of Black Spire Outpost, Galaxy's Edge, is set in that time after the defeat on Krayt and before Last Jedi starts.
Yeah.
Or no, I'm sorry, before Rise of Skywalker starts. My bad.
Yeah, I wondered if they were going to do that because technically Galactic Star Cruiser could be anywhere, but I guess to fit with Galaxy's Edge, it has to be in that timeline.
Exactly.
Were you able to book a Galactic Star Cruiser room?
You're so funny. You know, they did, they opened up those bookings. It was first for, like the DVC and, Club 33 folks, and they got their first shot. And I understand that those first few sailings are now sold out.
Yeah.
There might be some, lower prices, you know, if you wait 6 months or so, who knows, but for right now, yeah, it looks like those all went at a premium. I know the 2 days on that Star Cruiser cost a lot more than the 4 days on that cruise ship that I just got off of. Put it that way.
I will eagerly await the inevitable vlogs, because I'm sure someone...
I will be experiencing it vicariously through YouTube.
Yes.
Unless someone at Disney wants to invite us for a press visit.
I think we deserve
it. Hint.
A new... I use new in air quotes. Documentary is coming to Disney Plus this fall from the Walt Disney Archives that was previously shown at a D23 Gold Member event last summer.
Yeah, if you are not a D23 Gold Member, I am not. I have got the basic D23, but I don't pay the gold price. So then it's new to you, this reminds me of that. That prop series that they had on Disney Plus that ran briefly, and I wanted more and more of that. So this looks like kind of like an extended edition of that. They're going into the archives, digging out old props, artifacts from Walt's day, paintings, concept art, all sorts of cool things from the whole history of the company. And along with new interviews with everyone from Bob Iger and Kevin Feige, Pete Docter, and Leonard Maltin, who, if you're into film history, he's a critic who has been, deep into Disney and presenting their history going all the way back to the 80s.
I was excited to see Leonard Maltin included because I remember him from Disney documentaries that I watched when I was younger.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when they first started going to, putting stuff out on videotape and Laserdisc back in the 80s, he was always the one who would, like, host the introductions and stuff. So,
yeah.
Good to see him back.
This documentary is called Adventure Through the Walt Disney Archives, a reference to Adventure Through Inner Space, I would assume.
Yes. With the THRU.
Yes. And it will debut on Disney Plus on November 19th. You will have to be a subscriber to watch it, of course. But check it out. I'm excited. I loved Prop Culture. That was the show you were referring
to. Oh, yeah. Yes. Prop Culture. Exactly.
Yes. It was so good and so interesting. I love that they also restored a lot of those props across the show. But I'm interested to see kind of a more reserved approach, because that was very, like, poppy, like, fun.
Yes. Yeah, it was this looks like a little more serious, but still probably going to be some stuff that's going to make me teary seeing it on screen.
A new parade is coming to Universal Studios Japan with Pokemon and Mario for the first time ever.
So we just last week talked about the new partnership between Universal Studios Japan and Pokemon, and we were kind of speculating what that could result in, and thought, well, it'll probably take them a little while to come out with something. That's all. It's just amazing how, you know, here in especially with parades and these kind of live entertainment, where it feels like in America it takes us 6 months or 6 years to get a new parade, and Japan, man, they spit these things out like once or twice a year, and they're always so big and elaborate. So this one is not only going to feature Super Mario characters and Pokemon characters for the first time, but you've also got characters from Sing, Sesame Street, the Minions, Snoopy, and Hello Kitty. That's kind of like a total overload of kawaii.
Yeah. This is the first time that these Super Mario characters have appeared outside of Super Nintendo World since it opened, and this is the official kickoff of that collaboration with the Pokemon Company. So don't assume that this is it. Just assume that this is
the beginning. This is just the start. And the parade is going to incorporate the usual floats, street performances, costumes, and music from out the decades, starting with the 1960s. So there should be some music in there for everyone to enjoy.
Yeah, it sounds like there's going to be some show stops as well for little dance parties, though that wasn't explicitly stated. Yeah. But I'm excited. These little Pikachu characters here, they have a festival with them every year in Japan where they just have swarms of them dancing and doing little parades and things. So I'm very excited to see if it will be something similar at Universal Japan, or if we will get the entire range of Pokemon costume characters.
It's just thousands of Pikachus. That's all.
I would love that personally.
See, that confuses me. Does that imply that there is just one Pikachu, or the Pikachu, they're like Pikachu clones, like he could just binarily divide and reproduce, and there could be crowds of Pikachus? I don't really understand how they reproduce. I don't really understand their
biological cycle. And then they're animals. It's a species. So
I guess I just got to collect them all.
Yeah, you do.
All right.
A new exhibit exploring the Disney Wish and all of its various amenities is now open at Walt Disney Presents in Disney's Hollywood Studios.
Yeah, this came a little bit out of nowhere. I'd seen that they were moving some stuff around in there, but this whole new exhibit almost popped up pretty much overnight. And it's kind of neat. You've got a reproduction of what the sculpture that's going to be kind of the signature in the atrium, sculpture of Cinderella, and you get to see the maquette for it. And you also get this nice detailed model of the ship itself. So you can kind of see all the little details of the new water slide that's going on it. Can sort of, and it'll get up close and pick out which balcony room you want.
I think the Moana room is here.
Oh, yeah. Too. Yes.
I think this is so interesting. I just watched a Tim Tracker vlog that was kind of like leftovers of various events from over the month. Mm-hmm. And one of them was a Disney Wish kind of setup in one of the convention rooms at the Grand Floridian, and it had this Cinderella maquette in it and this sculpture of the ship. So I guess they just drove everything over to Hollywood.
It's probably something they came up with for a press junket. And they're like, well, we got all this stuff. We might as well squeeze it into one man's dream.
Yeah, I would like to know what else is in there, or is it just these cardboard kind of stand-ups with concept art and a couple of statues in there?
And if you are curious what disappeared at One Man's Dream in order to make room for this, I'm pretty sure this went in where the Star Wars Galaxy's Edge model used to be. Because Star Wars Galaxy's Edge is open and doesn't really need to be promoted anymore.
Yeah. I would love to see a Tron model, like a working one, kind of like the roller coaster models at SeaWorld.
I would love to see the actual Tron ride being a working model.
No, you get the model. But next time you're at Hollywood Studios, go give that a look and let us know. Disneyland Paris is updating their accessibility program for guests with disabilities and special needs, with a greater focus on their own autonomy and evaluation of that. Yeah.
I've got to be honest, I read over this article three times, and I think there might be a little bit of a translation gap, something lost. They repeatedly use the word autonomy evaluation, which implies that each guest, who has a physical disability, would be able to judge for themselves whether they are able to ride an attraction. Whereas previously, I guess they had strict guidelines over which rides someone who, say, was in a wheelchair or missing a limb would be able to use. I personally, if I was a theme park guest, I would like an expert to be able to decide whether it is safe or not for, someone who has a particular restriction, whether, the safety bars are still designed to accommodate them with, whether in case of an evacuation, they'd still be safe. And they do say that they're focusing on increasing the number of accessible attractions by revising priority and easy access conditions and evacuation procedures. But I'll be honest, I have never visited Disneyland Paris with someone who was in a wheelchair or disabled. The time I have visited there, I didn't notice, much different procedures regarding folks with disabilities as compared to in the American parks. But Obviously, if you have to visit Disneyland Paris before and been unable to ride certain attractions, maybe this now means you will be able to get on some that you couldn't earlier.
It was, I think you're correct on the translation, because Disneyland Paris, they put out art press releases based on a French social media app. It's in English, but
It's something resembling English.
I think there's definitely some stuff lost in translation here. I would love to see like a video or something. They're usually great about putting video content out to coincide with their releases, just so I can understand how this works.
Yeah, I've like we are definitely not experts, and neither of us
No.
are fluent in French. but I what it implies to me is that previously there were attractions that maybe the American equivalent of a ride, someone with a wheelchair would be accommodated, where in Paris maybe they were a little less accommodating, and now they are being a little more flexible and letting people make their own decisions about what they are and are not able to do. I assumed that they still have rules against cast members physically helping to transfer people. Generally, I know Disneyland used to require Disneyland Paris used to require someone who was disabled to pay for someone to accompany them. And this is one big change, is that if you don't feel you need someone, they won't force you to have someone. But you're still going to have to, be able to transfer yourself. I still don't think a Disneyland Paris employees will be able to like help lift you out of a wheelchair or anything like that for, safety and liability reasons.
And I don't know about, I mean, I also have never been to Disneyland Paris, but I know a lot of the rides at Walt Disney World have wheelchair accessible ride vehicles, at least for some of the newer attractions. So you don't have to transfer. So I wonder if that's the case over there as
Yeah,
well.
I mean, like I said, it's been a few years since I've been to Paris, but I do know, Europe and France, they have their own accessibility rules, but they don't have the ADA in the same way that we do in America. And especially at the time that Disneyland Paris was built in the early 90s, there wasn't necessarily the same culture of accommodation. And designing things for, diverse population the way that we would do today. So hopefully this is a good step forward and a sign that folks who have special needs will be able to take advantage of more things at Disneyland. Just if you're going there, I would probably call ahead or email them ahead and maybe have a native French speaker help you out with that. Know your own limitations and try to communicate with them ahead of time to figure out what you're going to be able to do.
Over in Abu Dhabi, the world's first Warner Brothers themed hotel is opening next month.
Yeah, this is going to accompany the Warner Brothers indoor amusement park that's been running there for a couple of years. It looks like it's just outside of the park. It seems like you can even look over and see the park from some of the windows. It's only 257 rooms. It's not a huge hotel. But a neat feature that it's going to have giant video screens spanning the entire height of the building, playing original video content related to the Warner Brothers theme.
I'm very excited to see all of the props and amenities that they have shoved in here. Like the outside of the hotel has the Friends Fountain, for example.
Oh, wow.
And then one of the restaurants has the player piano from Westworld in it.
That won't be creepy at all.
No. And then when you order room service in your in-room phone, the Looney Tunes answer. I don't know if I would want them making my room service.
I was gonna say, like, and especially if you're ordering a BLT, I don't want Porky Pig having to prepare that.
Oh, that's just cruel. But
No.
it seems very fun. The Warner Brothers World Park is incredible looking on the inside. I don't know if I'll ever get to go there, but it definitely kind of sets the stage for indoor
Yeah.
theme parks if we
Oh,
ever do.
absolutely. Probably the most elaborately designed and detailed indoor park that, well, I haven't seen it in person, but just from the photos and the videos. A lot of great people who worked on Orlando parks went over there and helped out with that, and definitely shows. It also doesn't seem to be terribly busy. I've never seen any video in there of it looking crowded. So maybe we'll do a stop over there on our way to our trip to Japan in a few years.
I mean, there's so much to do on Yas Island. We could that would be a whole leg of a trip in itself. But this new hotel will open on November 11th. And you'll be able to, it has all of the things that you would expect from a theme park related hotel, like dining. There's a lounge called the Overlook that has an
Themed after
infinity
The
pool.
Shining. Oh my Lord.
I'm a little frightened, but I also kind of love it. There is a kids club. There is a spa, fitness center. The merchandise location is called the Prop Shop. There's fine dining available at the Director's Club, which sounds very fancy. And like Seth said, you can literally see the front of the entrance to the park right outside of your window.
I
So.
just love the fact that one of their restaurants is called Craft Services. I just expect that it's going to be a big folding table with some donuts and styrofoam cups of coffee.
And gruel.
Yeah.
I really would love to see a Warner Brothers themed something come to the States. I don't
Oh.
know if it ever would, but Warner
You know.
has so many valuable IP that you could use to make a theme park with.
You know, if you go online, you can dig up the concept art for Islands of Adventure when it was supposed to be based on all Warner Brothers properties. You know, it would have been DC characters like Superman and Batman instead of Marvel, and then Toon Lagoon. You know, it would have been Roadrunner and Coyote and Bugs Bunny and all that. And yeah, it would have been a much different park.
I just think about like Westworld. Could you imagine like a Western themed thing? I know for South by Southwest, I think the year before I moved to Austin, they had out on a TV ranch, like way out in the middle of nowhere in Austin, they had a pop-up for Westworld that was incredibly themed. Like
Yes.
you could pick the white hat or the black hat. I've been dying for something similar to that. They also have Game of Thrones. That's a Warner IP. Maybe a little too violent,
Yeah, I was gonna say there's not a lot of Game of Thrones that could make it into a family theme park. Like
I mean,
that'd be a very edited down version.
I did do the Game of Thrones activation for South by when that was here, and it was appropriate.
Okay, I
It
was
was really cool.
there was
No death.
no rape or incest or
No,
okay, or
no.
good.
There were some actual sword fighting demonstrations,
That's
though,
cool.
which was cool. But very exciting to see this. I don't know if I'll ever get to go, but it's neat to know that it exists.
It's on my bucket list.
Yes. Riptide Race, if you're familiar with Aquatica Orlando, the new dueling water slide is coming to Aquatica San Antonio here in Texas next year.
Yeah, I have not made it over to Orlando's Aquatica yet to ride their version, but this one looks like it's going to start out with a 51-foot tall tower, pretty decent size, and you're going to be sitting in two person rafts side by side and racing to compete who gets to the bottom first.
The entire slide is about 565 feet in length. I haven't been to Aquatica Orlando ever, but if it's anything like racing slides at, say, Blizzard Beach, which is the only Disney water park I've been to, or Volcano Bay, I'm sure it's a great time. And then at Adventure Island in Tampa, they have announced two new thrill slides coming next year. The first being Rapids Racer, a two-person raft slide through 600 feet of tube with low walls, similar to Riptide Race, if you ask me.
Yes.
With the world's first dueling saucers, I assume that's like the big round kind of like banking set
Yeah, kind of
water
like
slide.
that whirlpool style or toilet bowl. I think
Yeah.
that's yeah. And then the other one they've got is Wahoo Remix. Wahoo Run is one of their classic slides, but they are updating it now to add synchronized light and sound elements. So that will kind of give it a bit of an upgrade. And
Yeah.
that one is 600 feet long and includes some enclosed tunnels that used to be dark, but now they're going to glow as you go through them.
These will open sometime next spring, but keep an eye out if you are local to Adventure Island.
Yeah, it's interesting. Adventure Island, in addition to these two slides, they've been upgrading their food and beverage, and they've also gone from seasonal operations to year-round operations. So it definitely looks like Busch in Tampa is making an effort to kind of elevate. Adventure Island is always, compared to the other Central Florida water parks, has always kind of been a secondary. But they're really making an effort now to raise its profile.
Yeah. Disney Junior Dance Party is officially back as of the time of recording this at Disney California Adventure. So if you have younger Disney fans in your party, this might be something they would want to do.
Yeah, this is a surprisingly popular show over at California Adventure. There's a version of it at Disney's Hollywood Studios in Orlando that I've never seen it get as full as I see the one in California. The one in California, you've also often got to get in line half hour, 45 minutes before a showtime if you want to get a spot. And
Oh
that's
my
probably going to
gosh.
get even tougher right now because. Due to social distancing, it used to be that all the kids would kind of crowd together at the front of the stage, and all the adults would hang back in the back and get to sit along the back wall. But now they're going to be doing a seating system where they group families together and give them a little bit of elbow room. So that will probably reduce the overall capacity of each show. So if this is something your kids are into, especially if your kids are into the Mickey and the Roadster Racers, Doc McStuffins, or Vampirina, those are some of the featured characters. You're definitely going to want to get to one of the earlier shows of the day and line up, I'd say, at least 30 to 45 minutes before your showtime.
I at least hope that the kids will be able to like dance and jump around in their specific section
Yes,
with their
yes.
families.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because it's hard keeping kids still once the music
Yeah.
starts and there's a lot of interactive, high energy kind of stuff in this show and trying to keep all that energy contained. That should be interesting.
Yeah, that's
Good luck,
certainly
parents.
it.
Good luck.
Yeah. I'm glad it's not me. In addition, the Disneyland monorail has resumed operation at Disneyland Resort. Though, unlike the monorail at Walt Disney World, this is more of a ride than actual transportation. I mean, unless you want to enter Tomorrowland
Well,
from.
you know what? I will tell you if you are staying at the Disneyland Hotel, this was one of the great perks of just being able to walk out of the hotel and hop onto the monorail and be right in the middle of Tomorrowland. Keep in mind the monorail under the best of circumstances can run limited hours. If there are fireworks going on, it doesn't run. If it's too hot, it doesn't run. If it's too cold, it doesn't run. There's a lot of things that can keep the monorail from running. But if nothing else, it's going to be great to have this back because the trams are still not running.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a hike. So this actually will give you an option if you don't want to walk all the way. To the front gate of the park, you could, in theory, walk to the monorail station in downtown Disney and then take the monorail the rest of the way in.
I was watching a vlog because that's how I keep up with everything. And I know it had a rough day yesterday. Just with, restarting operation and everyone's like, oh my God, the monorail is back. So go at your own risk. I'm sure it would be fine, but the way that crowds crowds have looked at Disneyland the past couple weeks, it's been rough. So,
yeah. And it, you know, it's amazing because the park does seem busy.
Yeah.
At the same time, you know, annual pass holders are pretty much completely blocked out from booking park passes, reservations through this month and, you know, weekends basically for the rest of the year. People can still buy day tickets, but yeah, I'm curious where all the guests are coming from because they're definitely coming back.
Yeah, there are definitely a lot of guests. Wait times have been kind of, they've been manageable. I think yesterday I checked it and it was 30 minutes to ride Millennium Falcon, but 90 minutes to ride Haunted Mansion Holiday.
Wow. Well, I would say that's fair. I'd rather wait 90 minutes for Haunted Mansion Holiday than 30.
Same. But yeah, don't let the videos of crowds scare you because the wait times might not accurately reflect that.
Yeah.
But yeah, the monorail is back.
Yay. Monorail.
I've actually never been on this one. I've only been to Disneyland once. But the monorail, I don't know if we just didn't ride it or if it wasn't operational.
You know, I'm not sure if they're allowing it right now, but, you know, up until right before the pandemic, they were still letting folks ride in the pilot's cabin at the very front of the monorail. They stopped that years and years ago at Walt Disney World after a tragic incident, but you were still able to do that in Disneyland. So if you are able to do that now, that's worth waiting for, getting to sit in that front bubble car. Is worth the wait.
Well, now we're talking. I watched the Full House special when I was a kid and then found out I couldn't actually sit in the front. It was very disappointing. And in our last bit of news in the queue before the main attraction, Legoland Florida has announced a new boat ride for next year called Pirate River Quest.
Yeah, Legoland. Legoland Florida celebrated their big 10th birthday a day ago. That was Friday morning. Yeah. And this announcement was part of it. And it sounds like, I don't know, it almost sounds like Legoland's doing their version of the Jungle Cruise, except with pirates. You know, Legoland was built on Cypress Gardens, which was kind of Central Florida's first theme park. Predates Walt Disney World by years. And part of the gardens were these beautiful man-made canals kind of wound between the cypress trees. And those have been unused for years. They haven't had an attraction that used those for a long time. But I noticed the last time I was in Legoland, Matt and I were over there not too long ago for the Peppa Pig announcement. And we took a trip, a walk through Legoland, and I noticed that they were doing restoration work on the banks of those canals. So now we know why. They're going to be running an attraction through them. And it looks like you're going to ride in a boat. And along the shore, you're going to see scenes of pirates who are looking for lost treasure that's been stolen by a bunch of mischievous monkeys.
It sounds very cute. And
yeah.
Cypress Gardens is the gardens that are left are just beautiful. And I'm really excited to see how that kind of translates to an outdoor boat ride.
Yeah, I really hope that they are able to, you know, maintain all the existing natural stuff and just sort of subtly insert these, you know, pirate scenes without, you know, I hope they're not tearing out any of the you know, old growth trees or anything. I'm sure they're not. I'm looking forward to this one when it opens to guests in 2022.
Yes. We have a question from John Self in the comments. Is this a trend we should expect at more parks since Cedar Point added an attraction like this in recent years?
I'm all for it. I love the idea of, you know, reusing a natural space that is existing but not, you know, fully utilized. And I think every park could use more slow-moving rides that rely on narration. I'm hoping they haven't specifically said, but I'm hoping that there'll be a live skipper on this boat, because I think that spieling adds so much to the theme park experience.
Agreed. I love a good boat ride. And I would be really interested to see how Legoland kind of takes the spieling aspect, mm-hmm. If that's something that they end up doing yeah. with this.
Not sure if it's going to be narrated, pre-recorded, who knows. But it would be a great opportunity to put a skipper on the boat.
And then they also announced some event enhancements, like bringing back Pirate Fest weekends for 2022 mm-hmm. to coincide with this new attraction. Lego Ninjago Days will also return, as well as Awesummer, with new Lego characters for that event. And then next year promises to offer the biggest brick or treat ever.
Yes,
and
it's going to
show lineup.
Yeah, including a new 4D film or cinematic experience, at least.
Yes.
So we'll see what exactly that means.
But Legoland is doing big stuff for their big 1-0. Mm-hmm. Very exciting.
It's amazing. I feel like it was just yesterday that I was going out there for the announcement that they were going to build that. And now it's a decade since it's been open. Amazing.
But that's everything for the news in the queue.
That's it.
And
all right, we're done. Bye.
Not quite.
Not yet.
But before we get to this week's main attraction, let's have a quick word from our sponsor.
Let's do it.
Here at Destinations with Character Travel, we offer the best experience with your travels. Need to visit the thrilling Disneyland Resort, Walt Disney World? Maybe lounge about on a Disney cruise or any other major cruise line? No problem. So if you're looking for a stress and hassle-free vacation, visit us at www.destinationswithcharacter.com. Contact us today and let us plan a magical vacation for you and your family.
It's time for the main attraction.
And for this week's main attraction, it is, of course, none other than Peppa Pig herself. And the opening date of Peppa Pig Theme Park, right next door to Legoland Florida Resort, has been announced.
Yep. The big day is February 24th, 2022. Mark your calendar. A little sooner than I expected.
Yeah, same.
You know, we knew that they were targeting sometime in the spring, but I was thinking more like April or May. But nope, by February 24th, the gates will officially open. Right off the front, they'll have six rides, six themed play areas, plus a water play area. There'll be food, there'll be entertainment. The other good news is that discounted tickets start at only $30.99 if you buy them online. And even if you walk up to the gate and buy them there, you're still going to be paying less than $35 a person. So, you know, that's cheap enough that, you know, I think a lot of families who balk at spending, you know, almost $150 for a day at Walt Disney World. I know, you know, my nieces, they know Peppa Pig a lot better than they know Mickey Mouse or any of the princesses, you know, and for a kid who's 3 or 4, I guarantee they will be just as enthralled with a day at Peppa Pig Land than they would at the Magic Kingdom. And it'll probably be a lot less stressful and
yes.
definitely a lot less expensive.
And if you want to pony up that money, you can pay about $135 and get mm-hmm. a 2-park, 2-day ticket with
yeah.
Legoland Florida as well. So you can turn it yeah. into an entire trip if you want to when purchasing
yeah.
online.
Yeah, so a 2-day, 2-park for the whole Legoland Resort complex is going to cost you about the same or less than, you know, a 1-day at Disney. So that's, you know, it's definitely, you know, you can look up our coverage. You know, you're not going to have big elaborate dark rides. There's no thrill rides here. The closest thing you've got is a little kiddie roller coaster that is, you know, perfect for your toddler's first roller coaster, but it's, you know, it's not gonna make anyone forget about the Velocicoaster. That's not what this place is trying to do. This is trying to be kind of a low-key, low stress, low stakes, you know, baby's first theme park.
Yeah.
And You know, I think we combine this with the stuff at Legoland right next door. You know, Legoland's great for kids up to about 10 years old. And this, I think, is going to be perfect for kids or, you know, maybe five or younger.
Yeah.
And combine them together. I think they've got a really good package there.
They're also selling a limited amount of annual passes if you go and you love it enough for only $75. And it includes free parking and discounts on additional admission for a year.
That's it's a pretty good deal.
Yeah.
Pretty good deal. You know, there's all sorts of perks included if you book one of these spring getaway packages. They've got some deals going. You can combine a hotel. You get a complimentary parking, complimentary breakfast. Definitely, there's some good bargains to be had if you book now for travel starting in February of next year.
Now, see, what I want to know is there is inevitably going to be a media event for this opening.
Yes.
Peppa Pig recently has been beefing with a lot of musicians. In the music industry, believe it or not, she
really?
Has been beefing with Kanye West.
Wouldn't she be porking, not beefing?
Cardi B and most recently Adele. So, listen.
I assume that behind the scenes they're all really friends, and this is just for hype. That this is just manufactured. What beef could anyone have with an adorable pig like Peppa?
Well, see, most recently I saw it on TikTok. Adele started it because someone asked her on Instagram Live if she would ever collab with Peppa. And she was like, what? No! And then Peppa was offended and tweeted about it. And then her fans, I don't know what they're called. What would you call them? Little piggies or something? They all rallied.
I'm not touching that one.
They all rallied to Peppa's side. So I wonder if any of her celebrity feuds will get an invite to that media event. I kind of hope so. Just put that out there in the universe.
That would if this is all like part of a long con, and she's gonna like get in Twitter wars with all these people, and then they'll all show up at the opening and like make up.
Honestly, that's what the world needs. We need some reconciliation, I think.
Can't we all just get along and have some bacon?
But Twitter beef is so fun.
I don't want to ignore our super fan, Super Wayne Wallace, in the chat, once again, coming through. Thank you so much for your generous donation and for your question. Are we going to watch the scary Walt Disney movies? Which would you say are the scary Walt Disney movies? Like back in the day, Something Wicked This Way Comes. That was, do you remember that one?
No.
It was based on the Ray Bradbury story. I think that was like early Touchstone. It was like early 80s, and it was one of Disney's attempts to make a kids horror movie. I can remember that one. I don't know, what are some other scary Disney movies?
I mean, I know the one that Wayne is talking about.
See, I don't remember Don't Look Under the Bed. I don't
that
remember
was
that
a
one.
Disney Channel original movie. I think it's streaming on Disney Plus, but it is genuinely horrifying.
You know, probably the most disturbing Disney movie that I've seen was I went to the Museum of Modern Art years ago for the exhibit about the history of Tim Burton.
Oh,
and they were showing a film, a short film that he had created for Disney that I think was shown only once as a Halloween special. It was this really strange interpretation of Hansel and Gretel. That was extremely creepy and dark, and I don't think is available for streaming anywhere. The only place I've ever seen it was when they screened it at the museum. That is one. If Disney really wants to traumatize people, they should dig that out and put that on Disney Plus.
Well, now I'm gonna want to try to find it because I can only think of the Victor short that he did that's on like
yes That is
one's
available.
Messed up.
Yeah, this was a live action. This was live action, and he designed the sets and the costumes. And for some reason, I think it might not even been in English. But that was some weird stuff.
Yeah, Tim Burton, yep. Old school Tim Burton. Yes. I don't know about new school. We'll have to see with the new Wednesday Addams TV show. But old school Tim Burton is where it's at. But with that is everything that we had to talk
That's
about
it.
This week.
Wow.
And
we did it. We made it.
Yeah.
So, thank you for those of you, who joined us live. And, if you enjoy this new time slot, if you appreciate the Saturday late morning, Saturday early afternoon, we're thinking of sticking with this. Please, send us a note and let us know how you like it because, I don't know, it's working for me. How about you?
Yeah, I enjoy it. Maybe not so much the mornings.
All right.
I'm certainly not a morning person.
Well, it's an hour earlier for you than it is for me. So
yes.
Maybe we'll push it back to just afternoon.
And I mean, but yeah, leave us a comment and share your thoughts with us because it definitely is a lot easier than pushing it all the way to Sunday night when we have to think about our Sunday scaries and Monday anxiety. but before we go, I would like to thank all of our subscribers. And if you didn't know, Attractions Magazine has a subscription plan. You can head over to attractionsmagazine.com/store and check it out. Our fall issue is available now as well. You can get that either digitally or in print.
And I would like to take this opportunity to thank once again our sponsor, Destinations with Character Travel. Please check them out. And please also check us out on Apple Podcasts and iTunes, where you can give us a 5-star rating. Also a review, please. That really helps to share the word about our podcast. And if you want to know more about us, about Attractions Magazine, and all the things that we do, you can find me personally at The Unofficial Guides or at The UG Series on Twitter or on Instagram at The Unofficial Guides. And Brittany, where can they find you?
You can find me at Brittany Tuttle. That's BRITTANITUTTLE. Yes, it's spelled funny. On Twitter and Instagram, but also every day at attractionsmagazine.com, at attractions on Twitter, at Attractions Magazine on Instagram and YouTube.com/Attractions Magazine, except for this coming week because I will be on vacation.
But she will get to all of your messages as soon as she returns.
Yes, and I will be back in time for next week's show. So
absolutely, we wouldn't miss it.
And until next week, I hope you guys stay safe, try something new, but most importantly, have fun. And we'll see you next time.
Bye.